All right, we're at the bottom of Samach Chayamid Bet. We're just, we'll review quickly the Mishnah and then the Gemara that continues. Rishona Hayomri Mevzeba Kalar. Someone's being taken out to be executed. Amar Kidvu Get Lishti and says, write a get for my wife. Harelu Yich Dvu Biyitznu. Meaning that not only do they write it, but they also give the get. Meaning that since he is so distracted with being taken out to be executed, when he gives the command to write the get, he means he intends to be write the get and give the get, not simply to write the get. Chazulamar, and then afterwards they added to that list, Afim Faresh, Ayotze Bitsara, Vishaira, someone is going out, you know, on a long boat trip or on a caravan, things that were considered dangerous and long, and he'd be distracted with the preparations for leaving. It suits so too in those instances when he says Kitvu, that it means Kitvu and Tnu. Rabishim Shazur, Ayotze Sukan, someone who is a Cholem Sukan. Also, again, if he instructs to Kitvu, we assume that he means Kitvu Utnu. Gneva, Yotze Bekolar Hava. And so Gneva, who's appeared in our Masechta a number of times, right, that he was, we just saw him a couple of davs ago, and then earlier on in the Masechta, we also saw that he was finally taken by the government to be executed. So here's the case. He was Yotze Bekolar Hava. Gava Nofik, Amar Havu Arba Me'azuze, the Rabbi Avino. Me'chamra de Narapanio. Says, give 400 zuz to Rabbi Avino from my wine in the Harapanya. So Amar Bezeira, Dara Rabbi Ina the Silte. So Rabbi Zera says that Rabbi Avina basically should pack his bags. He should take his food on his back. Also the Gabe Ravuna Rabbe and go to his Rabbi Ravuna. Why? Because according to the sheet of Ravuna, Rabbi Avina will be able to collect from the possessions of Gneva. What's that? Tamar Ravuna Gito Kimatanato. That there's some equation between get and matana. And so both of these are items that a person would try to give to another person. Meaning a get, a husband's trying to give to a wife, and a matana is a gift that someone's trying to give to the recipient. So this is ma matanato im amad chozer. Someone is on their deathbed, and they gift something to somebody. The underlying assumption, the underlying tanai in this gift is that, of course, I'm dying. I'm on my deathbed. And if I die, that's why I'm giving the gift. If I get better, then the gift was done in error. So Mama Natanoi Madmat Choser, if he gets better, he can be Choser on the gift because there was an implicit deny that he was, gonna die. Akitoi Mamat Choser. So too with his gift, if he gets better, right, the gift is not effective because the, again, implicit deny in the giving of the gift or the gift was that I'm on my deathbed, I'm going to die. If I don't die, then it's not effective.
The implicit deny is it? She remarries and has children, that actually is effective even if he doesn't die.
She got married and missed in error. Right, that's the problem. So she has to wait. I mean, that's what she has to wait. I mean, obviously he's on his deathbed. The point of the get is that he's going to die. If he doesn't die soon, then the whole thing's...
But what about he goes away on a ship? Like, she doesn't have to wait definitely.
No, that's not the case here. This case is simply about on his deathbed.
Okay.
On his deathbed. Right. Umagito afagav lo parish. Came in davar kidvu, afagav lomar tnu, just like a get, which is our mission over here, even though he doesn't explicitly state give the get, but when he says kidvu, write the get, it means give the get, af matanato, came in davar tnu, when he says give it, afagav lo konumine, even though you did not make a kinyan on it. Even though there was no kinyan to cause the gift to go effective, right, to create a halachic transference of ownership, nevertheless, the simple statement of tnu, right, is sufficient in order to have the gift be given. Now, when it comes to matana shchiv meira, when it comes to someone on his deathbed, there it's clear, both by matana and by get, right, that when whatever he instructs goes forward. So, for instance, if he gives a gift on his deathbed, a shchiv meira, his milim are kemesurim dami. We say that whatever he says goes. The questions are these other cases, like in our Mishnah, Yotze Bekolar. Someone is taken out to be executed. Our Mishnah, in the case of execution, only discusses get, does not discuss matana, gift. So now the question is, does gift have the same din or applications as mentioned in our Mishnah, as we mentioned by get? And that's Rav Huna's Chiddush. Rav Huna's Chiddush is that not only by Shechiv Mirah do we have an equation where gifts and get all work, but also in our Mishnah, the list of items that work for get, whenever I say write a get, it means write it and give it. So too, when I say give a gift, it means give it even though there was no kinyan made at that time. I mean, the gift is effective even without the kinyan made at that moment. So that's Rav Huna's Chiddush. That helps Rabbi Avino. Why does it help Rabbi Avino? Because Gneva, what did Gneva do? Gneva said give, Right? Havu, which means give. Arba Zuze, the Rabbi Avina. Give him this money. There was no Kenyan here. Right? Yet, he said give this to Rabbi Avina. So, if he relies on Rabbi Huna, meaning that if he goes to his Rabbi Huna, then Rabbi Huna says that there's an equation between get and gift. In that case, Rabbi Avina can collect on this gift that was given to him from Geneva. And that's the point that Rabbi Zera is making over here. So Afmatanato came into Martinu, Afatabkanimine, that it works. So now, because it works, now it's good. Now the Gemara wants to know, is this gift really a good gift? Why is that? Matki flo Rabbi Abba, ima matana yeshna la akramisa, avget yeshna la akramisa. Is this really true? Can you draw such a great equation between gifting and get? I mean, a get has only as an application, a get is only effective when the husband's still alive. A gift can be effective even after death. So if you want to draw such an equation or parallel between gifting and get, you're going to come to some absurd conclusion that just like you have a matana that's good, a gift is good after death, so to a get will be good after death. Right? Says right? How can you compare these two cases? Bishlama matana ita la'achamitza. Right? That makes sense. Matana exists after mitza. Ela get la'achamitza mi'ika. There is no such case. Ella, Rabbi Abba, Hokika Kashale. No, Rabbi Abba's question is a different question. Matana Chkimira b'miktati. It's a Matana Chkimira b'miktat. What does that mean, b'miktat? Again, a person who's on his deathbed, if a person on his deathbed gifts all of his property, he distributes all of his property, then we say that what was his intent? His intent was to divest himself of all of his, possessions because he knew he was going to die. By knowing that he's going to die, or thinking that he's going to die, he divests of all his property because he doesn't need anything anymore. Whereas, if he leaves over any property in his own possession, right, then we assume that he didn't think he was going to die. Why? Because what is he leaving himself any property for? That means that when he gives a partial gift, his intent is to give the gift irrespective of the outcome of his health. Because otherwise he would have given everything away. The fact that he only gives a portion of what he has away means that he thinks he's going to get better and he's saving something for himself. The fact that he's saving something for himself means that that implicit deny that if I die, it's good. If I don't die, it's not good. It's not there anymore. That's what Rabbi Abba's question is. Here it's a matana shkiv meir b'miktazi. Umatana shkiv meir b'miktaz b'yukinyan. Matana shkiv meir from a partial gifting, right, requires a kinyan because it doesn't really work like a Shkemira. Shkemira gives away all his property. He's only giving a portion of his property. Right? There's no implicit deny. And also, there's the idea that when he gifts it, he needs to make a kinyan on it. So Mara says, Michlau, the Rav Huna Sarah lo bai kinyan. So you're implying from this, on Rabbi Abba's question, the Rav Huna says, you don't need such a kinyan? Bai kaimalan to bai kinyan. Everybody agrees you require such a kinyan in that instance. When you have a matanus Shkemira b'miktat, he doesn't give away everything, but only a portion of it, you need a kinyan. So obviously that cannot be what Rabbi Huna is speaking about here, and Rabbi Abba's question does not necessarily make sense. So Mar says, "Shani hocha de mitzvah makos misohi." Now over here it's different. Why? Because this is an unusual case that he knows he's going to die. He knows, even though it's a matana b'miktas, it's not all of his property, but a part of his possessions. Nevertheless, we simulated what would be the equivalent of giving away all his possessions. Why do we say when he gives away all of his possessions, there's no need for a kinyan? Because he knows he's going to die. That's why he's giving away all his possessions. Over here, he's giving away a portion of his possessions, but he knows he's going to die also. Why does he know he's going to die? Because he's being taken out to be executed. So it's clear that he's going to die in this instance. If it's clear he's going to die, then all the features of someone who gives away all of his property should apply here also. And that's what the Gemara says. Shani ocha, the mitzvah makom smithi. Michlau, so the Gemara now says, if that's the case, that's what Rav Huna thinks. The Rabbi Abba Sarah mitzvah machmas miza bai kinyan. The Rabbi Abba thinks otherwise, that when he's going out to his death for certain death, that he needs a kinyan. But how kaimelon's lo bai kinyan? We know that the law is that you don't require a kinyan. So that can't be the question. Elo, Rabbi Abba hochika kashale. This is the question of Rabbi Abba. It's an interesting question. Chamra lo kamar. When Geneva gifted or told them to pay the money to Rabbi Avina, he didn't say, give him wine. Right? Number one. Right? So then he didn't say that. Right? He didn't say, give them the money's value out of the wine. Right? So there are two possibilities. He said to them, give them 400 zuz from my wine in Narpanya. So, right, there are two possibilities of what you think. One is either give him, right, a 400 zuz from the wine, I mean, give him 400 zuz worth of wine, or sell the wine and give him money, right? 400 zuz worth from that. That's the collateral for it. But that's not what he said. He didn't say Dmei Chamra. He didn't say Chamra. He said Mei Chamra. So what does Mechamra mean? That's what the Gemara says. It says, Kamar lo kamar, dmei kamar lo kamar, mechamra kamar. It says, from the wine itself. And Rashi says, wine is not money. Right? So it means when he says, give him 400 zuz from wine, wine doesn't produce money. Wine and money are not the same thing. So now, that's the question of Rabbi Abba. I mean, why is this a gift? And the gift is meaningless because he didn't give him wine, he didn't give him the value of wine, he gave him money from wine, which, again, is an undefined, it's an impossibility, as Rashi quotes. Rashi says it's not possible.
So how do you read that into his original statement? Or is that where we throw it?
That's not the question.
We're trying to reinterpret.
We know that Rabbi Abba has a question, we just don't know what his question is, and the Gemara keeps trying to reinterpret his question. Right, so Idach, what does Rav Huna do with this problem that Rabbi Abba raises? It's a good problem. He says, Mechamra kidei yafot koko et koko. The reason he said Mechamra was not to come to detract, but to add to his value. Meaning that, basically what he said was, I gift you 400 zuz, period. Alright, that's it. Or gift you, I give you 400 zuz. What's the Mechamra? The Mechamra is that, and if there's a problem, then that will act as a collateral. Mechamra is not the way that you're going to get the zuz. It's the collateral or the guarantee that you will get the zuz. Rashi says over here that it's a mechamra that he gets both, because the possibility was if he gifted him wine, what happens if some of the wine goes sour? Right? Some of the wine goes to vinegar. Right? Then the yorshim can say, listen, your wine went bad over here. Right? Now, if they gave him the mechamra, right, they could say, alright, we sold the wine, the money that we got from the wine that was sold got lost, and that was your money, sorry, you can't have it. So Rabbi gave him the power of both. He says, then pay him 400 zuz, and all the wine will act as collateral against that 400 zuz. And that way, he's protected either way that he'll end up with his money. So that's what they were, the offered koko. And that shalchu mitam, they sent from over there. Again, the talocha is mechamra kedei lachot koko. The reading or the interpretation is like Rav Huna, the mechamra means that I am not only giving you the money, but I'm also guaranteeing the money through all the wine will be collateral to it. But not that the wine itself is what's going to drive the value that you get, but rather that acts as a backstop that you will get the money that you deserve. All right. New Mishnah.
So it's kind of irrelevant to the sugya, but the get itself, that he's giving on his deathbed, not when he's traveling, but when he's giving on his deathbed, what value is that?
To prevent, the Gemara says in many places, to prevent from evil, so she won't have to perform evil. So he's protecting her from having to do Yibum afterwards. By giving her a get, then she's divorced, it's not someone where he dies, and there she's left a widow, and then she would be obligated to do Yibum. The Gemara says in many places, the intent of getting a get to her beforehand is in order that there won't be a problem of Yibum later on. Alright. Mishay Mushlach Lebor. This guy's in a pit somewhere. Rabar Kol Shemeyat Kolo, he says, screams at anybody who hears my voice, Yichtob get the Ishto, should write a get to my wife. Again, they should write it and give it. So again, all he instructed here was yichtov, and yet they say again yichtavu utnu. So this is somebody who's in a bore screaming out. So the Gemara says, strange question, but the Gemara says lechosh shemashedhu. How do you know it's a human being down there? How do you know? He says he's giving all the details, right? He's reading all. He's like, I'm this and this person from this and this city. Da 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 da. How do we know this is really the person? I mean, how do you know it's not some sort of imposter here? I mean, it's a shade that is giving the instructions trying to cause a problem for this individual. So I'm reviewed the Shirolo Dmutadam, that we see that he has the shape of a human. I mean, somehow we can't see who he is down below, but we see that there's some sort of human shape down there. So when I said, Inu Nami Idmu Yaidmu, the Shadim could take on a form of men also. So that it's no proof, just because they have a human shape or form, that's no proof. So when I said, the Chazile Bivoa, that they see him in a either in the shade, meaning that they see that he has a shadow, right? They see that he has a shadow. So it says, Inunami is called Bavoa. Shade them also have shadows. So it says, Chazile Bavoa de Bavoa. And this is, it says in other places that a test of whether someone's a shade is if they have a shadow to a shadow. Meaning that there's the multiple level shadow only has an application by human beings, not by shadim. I don't know. Again, I can't profess to understand this totally, but the Gemara says that that's a way to distinguish, and since that's a way to distinguish, therefore we can be certain that it's not a shade that's given the instructions over here. So Gemara says, "Dino imu niyami islahu." Maybe they also have a bavoa to bavoa. So Mechanim limadni Yonatan B'ni b'bo'a islahu, b'bo'a d'lislahu. Right, so this is, Rabbi Chanina says that I learned from the one of the Yonatan, B'ni b'bo'a islahu, b'bo'a d'bo'a d'lislahu. Right, that it's, here our Gemara has a girsa of B'ni, my son, but really in the Gemara's other places, in Yavamos, in other places it says Yonatan Sheda. That Yonatan the Shade taught me that they only have the single shadow, but not the multiple level shadows. So where it says, Vidzilma Tzarehi. Okay, so it's not a shade. But maybe the imposter is, for instance, the other wife. And that maybe this is the co-wife here. I mean, there are other people who have a vested interest in messing up this marriage, so why not say it's one of them? So it's kind of debate, Rabbi Shmuel, Bashat.
Are they really going to go down to the bottom of the bore?
No, I mean, maybe they are found there. I mean, that was the circumstance that they were in. Now they say, you know what? I'm going to be dead. Yeah. I don't want to leave this co-wife married to her, so I'll take everybody with me. Meaning that's the Tana Debrei Rabbi Shmuel. B'shata sakana kodvin b'notmim afo pishayim makirin. That's it. Shata sakana. When it comes to shat sakana, we don't ask such questions. Now, sakana, shat sakana. Generally, when we say shat sakana, it means usually gzeir kashmad. It means that there's decrees, there's difficulties. That Rashi does not say that here. Rashi says shat sakana means kigon zesh misukan lamut. Shat sakana doesn't mean a generic or general shat sakana for everybody, but for this individual, there's a sakana. This individual is found in a place of danger or problem, and because they're found in that place of danger or problem, then we say we suspend all suspicions. Right, we say this is a extenuating circumstance. And in an extenuating circumstance, we're going to suspend all of our suspicions and chashashot because it's, you know, meaning that imlachshav ematai. If we don't handle the situation when this person is sukan, then we're going to lose out the opportunity to help this person out. Because once he's dead, there's nothing to do for him. So we need to deal with it and not deal with all of our suspicions.
9/11 people to give divorce over the phone?
I'm sorry?
9/11 people were able to give divorce over the phone?
Maybe instruction. Maybe that's interesting. I don't know. That would be interesting. Whether they can instruct over the phone.
They get an ad in the forward. Yeah. In the paper.
I'm just saying, he's saying if someone called beforehand and said, I want to give a get, this is my name, this is my place, right? We know the building's going to go down. Can you take care of it? Possibly. That would sound like this case.
There was a case like that?
I'm assuming not. But today we don't really worry about Yibum so much. But I'm just saying that. But it could have been. You're asking theoretically, could someone have given a get in that circumstance?
Well, that's the case of a good one.
Right, Aguna is a case, right? But that's different. That you can't deal with over the phone because the Aguna issue is whether he's dead or not. We can't giving a get.
You can prevent the Aguna issue by giving a get first.
Sure. Oh, you're saying divorcing? Okay, very good. Oh, maybe that might have been a way to do it. Although most of the Aguna issues were cases where they didn't have that people saw them, but there was no contact. Right? They never were able to make contact back. So that was the issue. But yeah, very good. So that is a. That might be an interesting solution in those types of cases where a person knows and they want to prevent aguna, they could do it over the phone maybe. Or instruct people over the phone to do that.
Yeah.
Very good.
Wondering what happened.
Not that I'm aware of. All right. Next Mishnah. Habari Sha'amar Kitbu Getli Ishti. Now here we have a healthy person. Says, write a get to my wife. So all the instances we gave so far was either he's a shechem meraiz on his deathbed, or right, these extenuating circumstances where he's either going away or he is in the throes of execution, right? I mean, he's going to be killed. So here now a healthy person says, write a get to my wife. We don't say that he wants to give to her. He's playing games with her. Then he went up to the roof. Then died. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, imatzmo nafal, if he fell by himself, or he's a get, then it's a good get. Im ruach dechato, inu get. Right, but if he was blown off by the wind, then it's not a get. I mean, the question is, what was his intent when he told them write the get? If he intends to commit suicide at that point, then basically he's equivalent of a shchiv mirach, because he knows he's going to die, and so he's saying write the get means write the get and give the get. But if he goes up the roof and he died from, you know, meaning that it was an unusual circumstance, some natural causes caused him to die. He wasn't aware he was going to die. Then that's kitu get of a bari, and then it would not be effective. The Gemara asked the first question, Maisa Listor. Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel's case is soter, the statement of the Mishnah that a bari who gives a get is playing games, and it's not effective. Then he says, no, maybe there is a bari who's effective. So Mar says, Maisa Listor, no, chasuri mechsara. It's missing words, Mishnah. Bakitani imo chiyak sofal tchilato. meaning that yes, a bari who gives a get, that's considered he's playing with his wife. And he says, when he says kids who get, he says write a get, he does not mean give the get. Yet, if sofo yokoto, if something happens and proves that his original intent was not only to write the get, but to give the get, then we say, hariza get, it is a good get. Umaisinami bubari. And then this is the case of Shimon Leo, Shamar, kids who get lishti. And he died. If he committed suicide, he fell off of himself, or he's a get. Because then we know what he did in the end proved that when he gave the get, he meant kitzvu utsudu. If it was an accident, he had no idea he was going to die, then he was kitzvu get, was the equivalent of a bori giving a get, and that is playing games. Ain't no get. How gabro, the other beit knishta. Right? So he went into the shul. Ashkech, mikra yinoka ubre, the yatve. He saw there was a teacher, right, a teacher that, and his son that were sitting there. And there was another man or individual there. Amar lehu beitrei minaiko, two of you, nichtavu gita, write a get l'dibitu to my wife. The sof shchib, and then he died. The sof shchib mikra yinoka. Then the teacher died. So the question is, now he instructed two people to write his get. There are three people present in the Beit Knesset. Who are the three people? There's the teacher's son, and a third party. So the third party is clearly being instructed to give the get. The question is, who is the second aide or the second person that he's instructing over here? Now, when he instructed, did he instruct the teacher and the other aide? And those are the two people. Now the teacher died, so they're not there. They're not available to carry out his instructions. Or do we say, when he says Nikhtavu, he spoke to everybody who was present. Everybody who's present is the teacher, his son, and the third party. And therefore, there's still two parties left. Who's that? The son of the teacher and the third party. What's the question? This is what the Gemara says. The question is, Mim Shabu Inche Bro Shlicha B'Makom Abo. Do people establish a child, not a child here, because he's obviously over Bar Mitzvah, because he can carry out the Shlichus. Do people establish a Shliach, an agent, with a son in front of a father? I mean, that when you have a father and a son there, is the automatic assumption that the agency is the father, and he would not appoint the son in front of the father to be an agent. I mean, that would be an affront to the father. And therefore, over here, when the father dies, there is no agency. Oh, no, or maybe not. So Rav Nachman says, Lo Meshavu Inish Brosh Shlicha B'Mokom Abo. Person will not establish a son to be a shliach in the face of the father. But Papi Amar Meshavu Inche Brosh Shlicha B'Mokom Abo. He would establish the son to be the loch is Mishabu Inche Brosh Lichabu Makomava. Everybody agrees that the loch is that you can't establish a agency to a son even in the face of a father. So in our instance, right, we have a teacher, the teacher's son, and the third party, right, what is the teacher died. So there are still two shlichim here, there's still two agents here, the son and third party, and therefore they will go out, be kitvu, they will write the get, they will carry out the shlichus of the person who instructed them in the Beit Knesset over here. Alright, so now, next Mishnah. Amaru l'shnayim, snu get lishti. He says to two people, give a get to my wife. So now until this point we've dealt with the instructions have been write a get, right, to my wife. Now he's saying give a get. Now the question becomes the other way around. Before we said kids, but when he says write a get, if he's a bari, we say don't give it. If there are other circumstances to make it clear that he really wants the get to be given, the deathbed, yotzeh l'kolar, shayyora, mefaris, and we say when he says write it, it means give. What happens when he says give? What's the instructions of the gavei kitzbu? The writing part. He only says give, what do you say about the writing? So amar l'shnayim tnu get lishti, o l'shlosha kitzbu get, utnu lishti. Or he says to three people, write a get, and give it to my wife. Arielu yichtibu v'yitnu. They should write it, and give it. Amar l'shlosha tnu get lishti. Then if he says to three people explicitly, give a get, arielu yomru l'achemim v'yichtibu. They should tell others to write the get, and then they will give the get. Mipnesha asan beizdin, because he made them into a beizdin. Jibrei Rabbi Meir. That's the position of Rabbi Meir. So what's the difference between three, in front of three and in front of two, what's the difference? Two people are shlichim, three people are a beizdin. Okay, so when he does it, he instructs three people, he's making them a beizdin. But when he instructs three people and says, you write the get and give the get, they can't pass it on to anyone else because he's specifically instructing the three people to yichtavu v'yitznu. But if he says to three people, tnu get lishti, give a get to my wife, then they can pass that on, they can pass on the ktiva to someone else because they are a bathed in.
It seems like it's saying they should pass on the ksiva to someone else.
Well, they don't know how to write. I mean, they don't have to, but
they could.
Right, but as opposed to that, when you have two, right, that's what Rabbi Meir is saying, when you have two that say tznuget lishti, they must also write it, because he never appointed them as a beis din. They can't pass on any instructions to anybody else. Therefore, when he says tznu to them, they must both kitvu and tznu. That's Rabbi Meir. Mizu halacha ala Rabbi Chanina ish onam mibet asurim. This halacha was brought up by Rabbi Chanina. Mibet asurim is where Rabbi Akiva was incarcerated. He brought up the halacha from Rabbi Akiva, mekubalani. He says, I have a Kabbalah, but Omer l'shlosha tznu get lishti. Right, when he says the three people, give a get to my wife, shiyomu lachem yiftvu, that they can tell others that they should write the get, b'mnei shasan beis din, because he made them into a beis din. Amar Rabbi Yossi nominu l'shliach. Right, he says, I don't know what you have to say, amarnu l'shliach l'chanina shenasa shlicha b'alacha zu. He did a shlichus in this halacha. Afanu m'kobalim. We have a different Kabbalah. Right, that what? Sha'afilu amar the beis din agodol shvishalayim tznu get lishti. Even he tells the beis din agodol in Yerushalayim, give a get to my wife, shiyumadu v'yichtavu, that they should learn to write, and write it, v'yitnu and give it. That even when he instructs three people, he instructs the beis din, they must also write it. When he says tznu, he means not only give it, but also write the get. So amar la'asara kitzvu utznu get lishti. This is a mission that was quoted earlier on in the Masechta. Now why, if he says that instructs 10 people to write and give a get to his wife, echad kotev, one of them writes, ushnaim chotmim, and two out of them can sign it. Means he's instructing, you know, he's saying 10 people, you write and give a get. It's clear you don't need 10 people to write a get, and you don't need 10 people to sign on a get. So he says, go at 10 people, you write and give my get to my wife, that means out of you 10, one of you guys write it, and two of you sign it. Kuchem ktuvu. Right? If he says, all of you write a get and give it to my wife, then echad kotev, again, you can't have 10 people write a get. So it's clear when he's saying, kulchem, he's saying about the chatima, the signing of the get. So one of them writes it, but kulam chotmim. All of them must sign the get, because he says, kulchem, all of you must do it, right? If one of these 10 people dies, there is a get motel. There's no good get, because a specific part of his instructions to give the get was that these 10 people be signed on the get. If one of them's missing, then it's an invalid get.
So it seems that the safe of this mission is kind of modifying the ratio, right? Where we had Amar Shlosha Kisus Nu, Arielu Yichtu Vietnu, right? So here,
well, Yichtu over there again doesn't mean all three of them have to write it. It means Kotev Echad.
Right?
So it's defining what it means when it says Yichtu. It means one of them.
It's not a continuation of Rabbi Yossi.
No, this is an independent statement in the Mishnah, right? So Amar Rabbi Yomer Avo Shofule Mibei Rav L'Shmuel. It's sent from the base medrash of Rav to Shmuel. Yilam deinu rabbeinu. Amar l'shnayim, he says to two, kitvu tnu get lishti. Write and give a get to my wife. V'amru l'sofer, they go to a sofer, v'katov, right, that, and he writes it, v'chat muhein, and then they sign on it. Mahu, what's the din? Shaloch luhu, he sent to them, teitzei, v'adar v'aritzarech tamut. If this woman got remarried with this get, she should divorce the second husband. Right? And we need to look into the issue. We have to look into the issue. I don't have a clear psak here. Maya davar tzarech tamut. What's the issue? What's not the clear psak over here? Ilei mishabdu avlu milei. Right? Because what is this? These are milei. Milei means instructions, not actions. Right? When you give over instructions, umisfeklei milei imimsur l'shliach, ilo mimsur l'shliach. We had this locus earlier on, where the shliach has the ability to take on instructions. I mean, it's clear that when you have a shliach that's given actions to do, for instance, carry this get to a certain location, then he can pass on to another shliach, because there's an action, there's a physical action that he's carrying out, and that agency he can pass on to somewhere else. Instructions, right, are different, because instructions mean you must do these instructions. Can they pass on instructions or not? I mean, does the agency allow for the passing on of instructions, or only actions can be passed on? That's the question over here. He said to these two Adim, what did he say to them? He said to Shlichim, two agents, kitvu tznu get, write and give a get. So when he gives it to them, can they now pass on those instructions to the sofer? Tell the sofer, write the get on behalf of this individual. He said to them, you write the get, and he said, kitvu, write a get and give a get. When he said that, can they now pass their agency on to the sofer to write on their behalf or not? Is that the suffix that Shmuel has? V'amar Shmuel, we know that Shmuel already passed, can Amar Rav? Halacha, I'm sorry, Amar Shmuel Amar Rabbi, Halacha Rabbi Yossi. The Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, Damar Mila Lo Mimser and L'Shliach. That you cannot pass on instructions. Agents can't pass on instructions. If that's the case, That can't be a suffix over here, because it's clear that he cannot do that. Ella, the Shmuel, how come we boil it? This is Shmuel's question. Hak tubu, right? When he says ktubu to a get, iktav yadan, iktav a get. What is he referring to over here? I mean that when a person says ktubu tnu, get, right? That you should write a get, write and give a get to my wife. What does that writing mean over here? Does that mean ktav yadan? Or ktav a get? Does it mean you write the get, ktav yadan, meaning that you guys write the get? Or does it mean write a get in a generic sense, meaning that get a get ridden?
Have a get.
Right, have a get be ridden, meaning that that's what the ketiba referencing. But tipshut lemi must be some. Let us draw a conclusion. Right, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Actually, iktav yadan, right, iktav yadan means you should sign the get. I mean, iktav yadan means, ketubu means, not that you should write the get, but write your signatures on the get. You guys should sign the get. Iktav get, or is he referring to telling them, you specifically should write the get. I mean, same thing, I read it wrong in the words there, but the same idea. Is it an instruction to write the get, but you physically should write the get, or is it you should sign the get and have the get written, okay? But digitally, maybe it's Nisan. Let us conclude from our Mishnah. Amar lishnaim tnu get ishti. Right, says the two people who give a get to my grandparents, Olish Losha Kitvu get to Tmuli Ishti, right, they give a get to Ishti, Ariel Yichtibu, Vietnu. Right, so that's our Mishnah says explicitly, they must write the get. So my says, Igufa Kami Bailai. That's exactly the question. Tubu Tav Yadan, who? Oh, Ktavagetu. When the Mishnah says, Hari Elu Yichtibu Vietnu, what does the Mishnah mean? That they should write it and give it. Does that mean they should write their signatures on it and give it? Or does that mean they should write the get and give it? Right? Shita, diktav getu. It's clear that what it means here is that they should physically write the get. Why? Diktani, seifa, amar Rav Yosi, nominu l'shliach. Right? Fine, the shliach did his shlichus. Avanu mekabalim, shafilu amar the bezin agadol shvishlaim tnu get ishti. Shiyomadu, v'yichtavu, v'yidnula. Right? That they should learn how to write and give the get. I mean, why does Beit Din need to learn how to write? I mean, if you're talking about their signatures, you think they need to learn how to write their signatures? If you say that that means that, when it means yichtivu in our Mishnah, it means write the get, then it makes sense that they, based in Agolah, would need to learn how to write a get. I mean, that's not, they need to know all the lochos, they need to know how to write properly, how to do the ksav. If you're talking about a signature, right? Okay. How does the Beis Din not know how to sign? They have to sign all the time. They have to sign off on Rebbe's scale, off on, they have to sign off on other stuff. How could it be that they didn't know how to sign a document? I mean, what does it mean to learn to sign? Somewhere it says in. It could be that case. Ika Beis Din achadito. It's a new Beis Din. There are new people appointed to the Beis Din. They were not used to signing. They hadn't done a lot of signatures yet. And therefore, it wasn't something that they were practicing. And therefore, they needed to learn how to do their signatures or practice their signatures so that they could have a signature.
Is there a special signature for Dayanim?
I don't know. We had this earlier in the Masechta, right? That in general, you had to sign your name. You couldn't sign with a single letter or a single siman, except for the Rabbanan, who could sign with the siman because Yatzah Shmaihu. That everybody knew their emblem. Why?
That's cooler. That's not a chumrah.
Right. There was a cooler. Why? Because they signed many Piskei Halacha. So it sounded from there that they had a unique signature, unique way of putting down their name. Not like they signed their name, but they had a siman of some sort that was their emblem or their khatima that was unique to them that they placed on the documents. I don't know if that's necessarily a proof, but that was what we saw earlier in the Gemara, that they didn't necessarily sign their name like we would sign our names, but signed with some sort of special format that maybe couldn't be forged or couldn't be copied.
I thought the Gemara there was just saying that certain well-known rabbanim had the nafkamina was that their signature was very well-known.
Right, so they didn't have to sign, we didn't have to check their signature,
right.
We could use their emblems.
No,
I'm just saying, but that indicates that they had a unique something that they put out, I mean, that they used to use, it wasn't there that they signed their name, it wasn't an issue, it was a sign that they used a one letter with a swiggly
fish
or a fish or something, that was their siman, right? Seems to be that they had this special type of, you know, thing that they signed with, I don't know. Okay, now the East Spirulan, so now let's try the opposite side. East Spirulan, the Haik Tobu, Tav Yadanhu. Right, so now what are you going to suggest? You suggest, now we came up with a solution that our Mishnah could be a case where it's their signatures. The demand is that they sign the document. Hak Tav Get, kosher, but, excuse me, the Tav Get written by someone else, by the sofer, be kosher. V'amar Shmuel, Amar Rebbe, Halacha, Rebbe Yossi. Damar mili lo mimser on the shliach. What are you going to do with this psak halacha, Rabbi Yossi, that you can't pass instructions along? This individual made them agents and instructed them to write a get, give a get. Now what do? They take those instructions and they pass them on to a sofer and say, tell the sofer, write the get. That's passing instructions on. You can't do that. So what are you going to do that? Samar says, Amri, isvir landich tovo ktav yadanu, tavadet nasek omer amro. So now that's the problem. What did he say to them? He said, kitzvu utznu. How are we defining the word kitzvu, right, or kitzvu in the Mishnah? When we say kitzvu utznu, right, when the Mishnah, what does that mean? It means write and give. Now we're saying, what does that writing in the Mishnah mean? It means write your signatures. So write your signatures and give my get. What about the actual writing of the get? He gives no specific instructions about the writing of the get. But implicit in his statement of sign the get and give it is what? Domer Amro. Tell someone to write the get. Implicit in there is that he's saying to them, you go tell someone to write the get, you sign it and give it. Because if he just said sign and give the get, where's the get coming from? So it's clear, there's an implicit instruction there, go ahead and get someone to write the get. It's Ke'ilu, that's what Omer says, Ke'omer Amro. It's as if you said, Ke'omer, as if he said, Amro, tell someone to write the get. So, Mo the Rabbi Yossi, but Omer Amro. And even Rabbi Yossi agrees where there's an implicit, or Omer Amro, when he says, instructs them to tell someone else, that it works. So Omer says,
does that mean that there's specific instructions?
The instructions are to give instructions to someone else.
Specific instructions.
Right. I mean, or not specific. How would
it be any different than Rabbi Yossi's din then? I understand Rabbi Yossi says he can't give instructions.
An agent can be given instructions, but he can't pass those instructions to someone else. So if you're told to write a get, you can't go then and tell someone else
transfer
to write the get. Transfer
but
that
if
and
told
make
to them. Transfer that.
Right. If you're told the original instruction is go get someone to write a get, then you can do that. That's your shlichus. That you can do. So now the Gemara says, Umimo de Rabbi Yossi Beomer Amru. Is it really true that Rabbi Yossi agrees? I mean, the Gemara made it and said that Rabbi Yossi will agree in this case where we just described where you, there's an implicit Amro. When you say give instructions to give instructions, that it works. Vatnan. We have a Mishnah, which is coming up. At a Mishnah coming up that says, Ktav Sofer, the eighth. You have a get that has the Ktav Sofer. It's written in the handwriting of the Sofer, the eighth, and there's one eighth sign on it. Now, there's a machlokas how to read that Mishnah. When we say Ktav Sofer, the eighth, does it mean that the Sofer wrote the get, he signed on it also, plus another eighth? Or, it's simply the Ktav Sofer, the handwriting of the Sofer, plus a single eighth over there. So in that instance, do we say that it's a valid get? That's a machlokas we'll get to in the next Mishnah. The Omar, Rabbi Yirmiya, Chatam Sofer Shaninu. So this is according to Rabbi Yirmiya. Yirmiya says that Mishnah means that the Sofer actually signed the get. So you have a get written in the handwriting of the Sofer. He signed the get, and another eight signs the get. Ve'amar Rav Chista, Masnisin Mani. Who is our Mishnah? Rabbi Yossi. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi. Da'amar Mili Lo Mimser on the Shliach. That you can't pass on instructions to a Shliach. So now, Ve'isal Kadatva Modi Rabbi Yossi Ve'omer Amro. If you think that Rabbi Yossi believes when you give instructions to pass on instructions, that it works, nafik mina hurva. You'll end up with a destructive situation, a horrible situation. What is that? The zimnin. What will be the case? The amar lehu lishnayim, he says to two people, amru le sofer, v'yichtov. He says to them, tell the sofer to write a get. Uploni, uploni, v'yachtimu. And tell these two people to sign on the get. Oh, mishum kisufa the sofer chayshe. Right, so that these people who he gave the instructions to worry that the sofer will be embarrassed. Why will he be embarrassed? Because that the person only asked the sofer to write the get, not sign on the get. I mean that he didn't trust them enough to sign on the get, he only asked them to write the get. So what will they do? They'll go ahead and have the sofer sign it, plus one of the two aidim that he instructed. Right? Ubal omar hachi, and those were not the instructions. And you will say what? That'll be a kosher get. So now, what's the problem? Let's think about the problem here. You have a sofer writing a get. He was instructed to write the get. You have eidim who are instructed to sign on the get. So fine, if they carry out those instructions, fine. But, if you say that when Rabbi Yossi said that that will work, that's allowed, such instructions allowed mean that you can pass on instructions. Over here, this is different than what we said before. Over there, we said it was an implicit passing on instructions. Here, it's explicit. His instructions are, take these instructions and give them to the sofer. And yet, what? If you say Rabbi Yossi believes that's good, then you're going to end up with a problem. Because we're going to have this chashash, that if you instruct the sofer to write and other people to sign, that the shlichim will make a mistake, not a mistake, but they'll say, listen, you know, it's embarrassing for us to tell the shofar to write and not sign. We'll let the shofar sign and we'll get one of those other guys to sign. And that's what the pasuk will get. That's what Rabbi Yirmiyah says. Rabbi Yossi is the author of the Mishnah. Why is Rabbi Yossi the author of the Mishnah? Because Rabbi Yossi believes you can't pass on instructions. Even if you're specifically instructed. See, this is like that case you said before. Even if you specifically say to someone, tell the shofar to write it, doesn't work. Agency only works when you directly instruct the people there. You can't instruct someone to instruct someone else. That doesn't work. And according to Rabbi Yossi, if that doesn't work, then the Mishnah makes sense. The further Mishnah makes sense because you can't come up with this mistake. Why can't you come up with this mistake? Because you can never instruct agents to have a sofer right. That will never be a case. If that's never a case, then we don't have to worry about a chorba. Nothing will go wrong. So if that's the case, then we know that Rabbi Yossi believes no passing on of instructions. No passing on of instructions, then how do we set up this whole Mishnah? Shmuel just said what? We were setting up our Mishnah in a case where when it meant tovu meant sign on the get. Right? And that means you could ask the sofer to write on your behalf. We said Shmuel Pachkin like Rabbi Yossi that you're not allowed to pass on instructions. You can't pass on instructions. He said, no problem. Rabbi Yossi is a differentiation in Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says you can't pass on instructions when you weren't told to. But when you are told to pass on instructions, you can pass them on. That's how Shmuel, we tried to explain our Mishnah. But then we said we found another Mishnah that is set up according to Rabbi Chista and Rabbi Yirmiyah that Rabbi Yossi is the author of the Mishnah because you cannot pass on instructions. Even when you're specifically told to pass on instructions, you can't pass them on because that stops there being a problem in this further Mishnah. So Shmuel can't explain our Mishnah according to Rabbi Yossi. Where it says, no, that's not true. No. Came into Amar Mar, kosher velo tatekein, be Israel, that this type of get is a kosher get, but you shouldn't do this in Israel. I mean, this get that's found in this next Mishnah, where we talk about the sofer is one of the signatures in the aid, or it's the ksav sofer in the aid, depending on the makhluk is there, that is a kosher get, but lo tatekein be Israel. You shouldn't do this, meaning that it's a kosher get, but we don't endorse such gitin. Lo shchiach, it's not a common occurrence. Since it's not a common occurrence, we don't worry about nafik korba. We don't worry about this korba issue. So that's what Gemara says. Well, belichush, even if it's not shkiach, belichush dim amr lehu lebeit rei. You'll tell two people, amr lehu sofer v'yichtov, v'atem chotumu, and you sign on it. And they go ahead, v'shum kisufa the sofer v'machak me'alo. They go ahead and tell the sofer to write it. Then they say, you sign it, and one of us will sign along with you. Uvalo Marach, and the Baal didn't say this. So Amri Hanami, kosher v'lo tatsehu. That's again another case which we say the get is kosher, but don't do this. And we don't endorse such gitin. So again, that would be a case of lo shchiach. So Gemara says, Hanicha, that works well, but according to the Mandamar, kosher v'lo tatsehu. The one who says that such a get is kosher, but we shouldn't do it. That such a get is kosher, and we can make such gitin, we endorse such gitin. Then it's not a case of lo shchiach. Ela Rabbi Yossi tarte. Rabbi Yossi has two positions. Well, he has two positions. He has a position like this. Rabbi Yossi's position is, number one, mile lo mimserei l'shliach. You can't pass on instructions to another shliach. If you're given instructions, you can't hand those off to another person. Number two, Rabbi Yossi has a din. That even if you're specifically instructed to give over instructions, that it does not work. Right? That's Rabbi Yossi's two dinim. Ushmuel, right, says what? So Shmuel says, Sabarlo kevate b'chada. He passes like him in one instance. Right? Upoligale b'chada, and he disagrees in the other instance. He agrees to Allah that you're not allowed to pass on instructions. The shliach who's given instructions can't pass those on to another shliach. But, he disagrees with Rabbi Yossi. He does not pass him like Rabbi Yossi when it comes to if you're specifically instructed to pass on the instructions, there he says that it does work, as opposed to Rabbi Yossi who says it does not work. So that's how Rabbi Shmuel will come up with a suffix in our Mishnah. Rabbi Shmuel's suffix in our Mishnah, or suffix in the Halacha here, is when he says Ketuvu Utnu. What does Ketuvu Utnu mean? Does it mean, or Kitzvu, or Ketuvu Utnu? What does it mean? Does it mean write the get itself and give it, and that's the only way it's kosher? Or does it mean sign the get and give the get? You can't give over instructions to another person. That's only where he didn't give you specific instructions to do it. Over here, if he said sign the get and give the get, then he's obviously implicitly telling you to have someone else write the get. So Shmuel says, in that case, Rabbi Yossi would agree, or he says, not that Rabbi Yossi would agree, but I caught from the locha that would work. Those types of instructions would work. So that's Shmuel's suffix in our Mishnah. Since that's a suffix, when we had the case above, when it says tufu utznu, right, he didn't know, right, Shmuel says, have the woman be divorced from the second husband, and it's a suffix. We don't know what to do here because we don't know what those instructions mean. That's how we explain the Mishnah. That's the suffix Shmuel in our Mishnah in that Psak Halacha. I just point over here that when Rashi says lo shkicha, when the case, when we sit over here, the answer that kosher v'lo tazake means lo shkicha, he means that Shmuel holds, does not hold like Rav Yirmiya, and does not hold of Rav Chista. He doesn't explain our Mishnah further on like Rav Yirmiya or Rav Chista. He doesn't set it up like Rav Yossi at all. Because if you set it up like Rav Yossi, he runs into a stira in his Psak Halacha. Until later on, the Gemara then reverses that position and says, no, Shmuel paskins against Rav Yossi in that position. In that case, he could set up the Mishnah further on, like Rav Yossi. But at that point, that stage in the Gemara, he says that when we answer for Shmuel, that's lo shchiach, that means they don't think like Rav Yirmiya, that what? That you set up the case that it's the sofer signed and the 1/8 signed. It could even be that it's the sofer's handwriting plus 1/8 signature. And number two is, we don't set up that Mishnah like Rav Yossi. Because at that point in the Gemara, Shmuel believes that even Rav Yossi agrees when you give instructions to pass on instructions, it will work. Alright, later on, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that Rav Yossi does not hold of that, and Shmuel paskins against Rav Yossi in that instance, and paskins like him in the instance that you can't, a shliach who's given instructions can't pass them on, but if he's given specific instructions to pass them on, then it does work. Alright, let's stop here.